He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, July the 12th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And the market has been way down in the pre-market. Then it popped pretty nicely out of the gate. And now it's falling again. So we've had three markets so far this morning. And right now the Dow is up 27 points. And that puts it at just about 31,182, actually 31,182. The NASDAQ was up, and now it's down. It's down 67 points. That's 0.6%. The NASDAQ is now at 11,304. The Russell 2000 Small Cap Index is dead flat right now. The S&P 500 is down 0.4%. 0.4% is down 15 points. Crude oil is the big loser here this morning, down $6.32. The inverse funds on crude oil are doing very well today. Crude is at $97.77, and from my perspective, crude continues to price in a recession, global recession. Gold is down $4.20 as the U.S. dollar hits parity with the euro. We'll talk about that quite a bit during the first part of the show today, what that means for the global economy. Gold is at $17.27. It's not good for gold, I can tell you that. Silver's down 23 cents. And the 10-year is at 2.92, and we continue to have an inverted yield curve. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. Leave it to a chartered financial analyst to pick, like, a couple days after the euro reaches parity with the dollar to go right? on a yeah. European vacation. Well, I got to hand it to you, Barry. Nice timing.
Well, I outthought myself, though. That's the other side of it, is the financial planner. I outthought myself. So I've been kind of purchasing some euros along the way. So I've been averaging down, but not. If I would have just waited and not did any planning, right, then I would have hit it perfectly with the dollar. What, hit parity for the first time in, I think, 20 years or over 20 years?
Yeah, that's and we're going to talk about what that means. You know, a lot of people don't understand the effects, cause and effect of the dollar going way up like it has and what impact, who gets hurt the most by that. And who benefits from that? The biggest beneficiary are those going on European vacations.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And you know, except for the fact that you've got, we have basically a farmer strike / war in, the Netherlands. I saw that.
That continues to be a hot spot. Well, okay, we started off the week very poorly. The Dow down 164 yesterday. The S&P down 45. The NASDAQ was down 263. When I looked this morning, the 10-year and the 2-year, you had an inverted yield curve by about 5 basis points. So we had a very bad start to the new week. The euro hits parity with the dollar for the first time in decades, is what it says here, in decades. The exchange rate between the euro and the dollar are about equal, making it more affordable for American tourists visiting Europe this summer. You had parity this morning, the first time since 2002, Well, wow. That's the first years of the euro's existence. Okay,
yeah. So I had a professor who was actually an economics professor, studied under Milton Friedman, and it was before they went to the euro, and we essentially had half a class for the year that talked about the formation of the euro. He didn't think it was going to last long. It's probably lasted a little longer than he expected, but it's been 20 years since the one-for-one days.
Let's not forget, they had their own currencies in each of those countries before that, and while it may make for some cheap vacations, it could come at the cost of global economic stability, and we'll talk about that here. The euro has fallen since the start of June. Irrespective of rate differentials, moving first in its favor, then against it. It's all about the risk backdrop and the threat to European growth from energy dependency. That's probably the biggest factor out there. They made this move. Okay, we're going to talk about another country that made a move towards the green energy. I'm not saying it's a bad move, but maybe the plans weren't all in place. And, the risk weren't weighed out when you're 40% dependent on a guy like Putin in Russia. And now it's really coming back to bite them. And that's what's causing one of the big reasons why the euro is dropping. The dollar is rising. And we're going to take a look at the different impacts around the world that this is going to have. It's been on, the dollar has been on a major surge. Okay, I use UUP as my proxy for the U.S. dollar. That's an ETF. But if you go a little deeper, it's dollar sign USD is the actual dollar itself. If you want to look it up on Yahoo and look at the chart and whatnot. The dollar has been on a major surge against global currencies in the past year, recently hitting levels not seen in 20 years. It's gained 15% against the British pound. Of course, they still have their own currency. 16% against the euro and 23% against the Japanese yen. And that's one of those inverse funds that has done well. There's an inverse fund on the yen. There's also an inverse fund on the euro. And of course, there is an ETF on the dollar. So you can actually buy the dollar through an ETF. The dollar, obviously, is the world's reserve currency. Now, there are a lot of those that would like to take that standing away from the dollar. But what that means is it's used in most international transactions. And as a result, changes in its value have implications for the entire global economy, okay? So here's five that I picked up here this morning from an article. Number one, even more inflation. Well, oil is priced in dollars. Commodities are generally priced in dollars. When the dollar gets stronger, these items cost more in the local currency. So all of these items are costing a lot more for anybody, any country that doesn't use the U.S. dollar, which is basically us. The cost of U.S. dollar 100 worth of petrol has risen over the past year from 72 to 84. That's a pretty big increase. That's 8%, something like that. And since the price per liter of petrol in U.S. dollars has risen steeply as well, it's creating a double whammy. Okay, so not only has the price of oil increased, the price of their currency has decreased, so that has really hurt. Double whammy there. Now, we don't have that in the U.S. We just have the impact of higher oil. When energy and raw materials cost more, the prices of many products go up for consumers and businesses, causing inflation around the world. The only exception is the U.S., where a stronger dollar makes it cheaper to import consumer products and therefore could help to tame inflation. Okay, so there is some benefit to us, but there's also some downside for us, which we'll get to here in a minute. Number two, low-income countries are under threat Most developing countries owe their debt in U.S. dollars, so many owe much more than a year ago.
Particularly emerging markets. That's the reason why a lot of emerging markets will move opposite of the U.S. dollar.
Well, and it puts all of that debt at risk. Okay, I mean we had a country fall here, which I'm going to talk about next. But imagine looking at your mortgage and, you know, last year you owed $400,000. All of a sudden you own $500,000. You never took any money out of the...
Yeah, you didn't get any more money.
No, it's because of your currency. So these countries, all of a sudden, what they owe has gone up considerably. And there's fallout, which we'll talk about here when we come back from the break. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now. We hedge here on the show, and we hedge in real life also. Okay, let's go back to this strong U.S. dollar and low-income countries under threat. Well, we are already seeing this in Sri Lanka. You know, that's a country of 22 million. It's I remember it when it was Ceylon, C-E-Y-L-O-N, and they collapsed. Their economy has collapsed because of the the strong U.S. dollar is just one factor, but there were other factors there that led to the collapse of Sri Lanka. That country is in chaos, absolute chaos right now. And because, you know, the debt level is rising as their currencies weaken, other countries may soon follow suit. Okay, and then you got to think about the lenders here. Some of the lenders could be in trouble, too, that have lent money to these countries. These countries will either have to tax their economies more, issue inflationary local money, or simply borrow more. And I know... Sri Lanka is looking to the International Monetary Fund for a bailout. And so far, it doesn't seem like they're getting it. So the results of this strong dollar could be deep recession, hyperinflation, sovereign debt crisis, or all three together, depending on the path each country chooses. And, developing countries that fall into sovereign debt crisis, it can take years or even decades. Look at countries like Argentina and others that have defaulted so many times and, of course, causes severe hardship on their people. Number three, and here's one that we have to be concerned about in the U.S., Barry, and you always bring this up when we talk about a U.S. recession. This continues to create a bigger U.S. trade deficit. Because other countries are buying fewer U.S. products as a result of the strong dollar. So this also trickles into multinational companies that sell overseas.
Yep, double whammy.
And the trade deficit is a part of our GDP figure, right?
That's correct. So any negative, not to get into all the whole formula, one of the pieces of the formula, when you add everything together, is import exports minus imports. Well, if your imports number is much higher than your export number, well, that creates a negative number when you're adding all the other parts together. So it creates a negative potential for negative GDP. And also, it's, you know, these multinational companies, for example, Apple selling a bunch of iPhones overseas. Well, when they bring that currency back to U.S. dollars when it's time to count all of their earnings, well, they're not going to get as many dollars for that iPhone unless they raise the price, and that's really hard to do. overseas just from a currency translation standpoint. So it's going to be a headwind on a lot of these multinational companies.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, our trade deficit is closing in on a mammoth. That's a mammoth number, $1 trillion per year.
And I think it was the highest ever last quarter. I mean,
yep. And Biden and Trump both vowed to reduce it, particularly against China, but it just is not working. And that trade deficit also drives up U.S. borrowing. And it continues to take many manufacturing jobs overseas. So, you know, the other factor here is deglobalization. Okay, so there was this big move before the pandemic of globalization, you know, sourcing, outsourcing, supply chains from all over the world. And that all turned upside down during the pandemic. So now... there's a move for deglobalization, and of course, you've already got two countries that aren't part. They don't want any part of globalization, it doesn't seem. Obviously, Russia, and it would not seem that China would really want to be part of a global community, unless they can run it, I suppose. So you've got that going on, and that's going to create more protectionism, more tariffs, that kind of thing. And then another big, big problem here, and this is why we have an inverse ETF on the Eurozone. Weaker EU member states such as Portugal, Ireland, Greece, Cyprus have become somewhat less vulnerable to investors driving up their borrowing costs to crisis levels than during the darkest days. But they are still vulnerable as the pigs, they call them for a while. Now I guess they have new countries in there. It was Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. Now it seems to be Portugal, Ireland, Greece, Cyprus, etc. This is creating pressure, the stronger dollar, for the European Central Bank to raise its interest rates to prop up the euro and subdue the cost of imports, including energy. This is going to put more pressure on Eurozone countries with high levels of debt.
Yeah, they're in a pickle. I mean, they need to raise rates to fight inflation. And you just mentioned they also need to raise rates to prop up their currency. But on the flip side, they've got growth issues. And throw in the fact that you've got, you know, some of the member nations that have debt issues, right? I mean, they're, you know, what helps one, right, Germany or whoever, right, hurts another. So.
Yeah, and it was always hard to get a consensus there because Germany always had a strong economy, and they didn't feel like they should be bailing out, what did they call them, the Club Med countries,
yeah,
Italy and Greece and
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
So anyways, I mean, Italy is the ninth largest economy. You're going there Thursday, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and they have government debt at a whopping 150% of GDP, which would be particularly hard to bail out if the situation got out of control. So if you take all of these 5 points, you bring them together, the ultra-strong dollar is another reason to fear a global recession in the coming period. Higher inflation erodes consumer incomes. It reduces consumption. Protectionism can reduce international trade and investment. And sovereign debt crisis means serious trouble for many developing countries and possibly even the Eurozone. Now, here's the good news, okay? I didn't realize this, but it's an interesting point. Sri Lanka, formerly Ceylon, has almost a perfect ESG score, okay? So
yeah.
Before the country collapsed, they were green. They were probably the greenest economy in the entire world. They had an ESG score of 98 on a scale of 1 to 100. And look at them now.
Well, that's one of the reasons that they're revolting, because I think they hurt farmers, which is part of what's going on in Netherlands right
exactly.
now, by the way. But it just led to food shortages, really, honestly, is what it led to.
And yeah, I mean, they have to, they're an island, okay? They have to import just about everything. So now what they're doing is telling everybody, hey, start growing your own food, which I've been doing for a long time, and I would recommend it. But they are in a prop pickle, and their energy prices skyrocketed. So you've got total unrest there. but a perfect ESG score. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The I show the 2-year treasury is at 3.01. Okay, why that's important is because the 10-year is at 2.91. So now you have 10 basis point inversion there. And that, you know, it just seems like the recession talk. I don't think the dollar, it seems to me like the dollar strengthening almost on a daily basis, is part of this, fear, but it's showing up in a couple of ways here today. I'm talking about fear of recession. Your risk assets are down. Bitcoin's down another $590 to $9,800. 115. BITI is the inverse Bitcoin ETF. It's having a good day. But the other area this fear of a recession is showing up is the drop in interest rates again today, down to 2.92. That is indicative of a little bit of a flight to safety. The parity of the dollar versus the euro. And the biggest factor, the biggest one today, indicators, crude oil is now down $7.01 per barrel to $97.08. And, I mean, there's no reason for it to be going down other than fear of a global recession, okay? So that's on that happy note, let's go on to our next subject here. Which is, you know, every time China gets a rally going, I don't know what it is. They come after a company, the regulators. I guess they just want to keep them in line, let them know who's in charge. Alibaba, I'm sure, is scared to death of their own government. Alibaba got hit for 9% yesterday. And China just had a pretty good rally going on. Alibaba went from 79 to 120. And then it seems like if they have too much success, the government comes in and gets some more money from them via a fine or something. I don't know. And it's just the way China is. Investing in China, you got to put up. You don't have any idea when the Chinese government's going to come along and punish these companies or whatever they're doing. Okay, yesterday PLRX had that big news on the lung disease. It went up, I think, 150% or 130% by the end of the day. So what did they do? I mean, this is pretty common. They do a secondary offering, okay, the same day. I mean, right after the market closes, they float a bunch of shares, get some more money, get the money while the money's hot. And so they went out and got $150 million by floating more stock, which dilutes the current shareholders, but the stock is down 13% on that news. That's actually not too bad, considering how much it went up yesterday. PLRX, which fibrosis is the thing that they had good tests, good results on from their clinical trials. The small business optimism falls way below consensus. And, of course, Friday we get it from the consumer, what the consumer thinks. But small businesses are getting worried. That's not good because they're kind of the backbone, really, of America.
Really the biggest employers, even though you get it takes a lot of math, but you got to add them up, and they're the biggest employer, I think, in the country.
Yep, and when their optimism falls, that means they don't hire, they don't buy, they don't invest, they don't buy new machinery. They don't invest in new technology, so that spreads throughout the whole system. That index came in at 89.5 yesterday. The 92.9 was the consensus. Okay, crypto and Bitcoin are BS and rife with fraud. No, this isn't Charlie Munger. This is macro researcher Paul Craik, who is a pretty well-known macro hedge fund manager. He now provides research to professional investors. He does a podcast called Market Champions Podcast. He says that many of the coins are going to go under rife with fraud. So, you know, look, everybody has a different opinion on these. On the other side, you have Michael Saylor, who's the CEO of MicroStrategy. And, of course, the value of his coins just continues to go lower and lower, and the stock just continues to tank. I see a shareholder lawsuit there for irresponsible management, maybe, from MicroStrategy. You got the guy down in El Salvador, the president that continues to buy. He's averaging down, which is a big, big mistake. You're lowering your cost basis. You're averaging down. Not a good idea. You want to buy on the way up, not on the way down. And he is way underwater. Saylor's way underwater. The leader of El Salvador, you know, he's hurting his entire country by gambling on Bitcoin while he sits in the Presidente seat down there. Well, you say, well, okay, Gunderson, you badmouth the Bitcoin all the way from 66,000 down to 19,000. What about gold? Gold hits its lowest levels since September on strengthening dollar and rising yields. So that's the other fallout of the rising dollar. Now, you would think with inflation, the dollar would be going down. But instead, it's going just the opposite way. And, you know, a lot of the preppers and the doomsday and the gold commercials talking about the destruction of the U.S. dollar, which could come at some point in time. It's extraordinarily strong. How do you account for that, Mr. CFA? Gold has been a terrible investment. It's been better to buy the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, as the price of you know, commodities, as dollar goes up, you know, commodity prices go down. So gold, you know, it's had that headwind. The other thing is, as interest rates go up, right, the opportunity costs for gold go up because, you know, at 0% interest rates, well, you can, you know, gold doesn't pay an income. It actually costs money to store it, so it really has a negative yield. So in a low interest rate environment, right, that it's not as big of a deal. So that you know, that helps gold prices. Well, in a higher interest rate environment, well, instead, right, you know, that opportunity costs even more. You got a cost to store it, and you're not getting, you know, say some interest rate, right? So it's even more expensive, kind of, to at least from an opportunity cost to hold. But the flip side of that is inflation's been rising, so you would think, right, that would be a positive for gold. You know, the one thing I figured out about gold, and I think there's probably been, you know, probably more books have been written on gold than anything over the years, and it just it never really works or acts the way you know the textbook or the way you think it should act. There's so many varying factors. I mean, even certain times of the year, in India, they have, you know, a gift giving season, so there's some seasonality to certain times. Same thing with the Chinese New Year. So there's just a lot of different versions in there. So.
Okay, let's go to the extreme, and this I would say that this is why most people own gold. Imagine you're in Sri Lanka right now. And you got a bunch of Sri Lankan currency.
You're right.
Okay, and then your neighbor's got a safe full of gold. Okay, and it's time to get out of Dodge. I remember, you know, living in San Diego when the Vietnamese fled South Vietnam, and a lot of them went to Camp Pendleton. you know, that's where we took them in and housed them as we dispersed them. We had a plan to disperse these people. And a lot of them, in fact, we hired one at our company. And most of them said the only way they got out was gold, okay, that they had sewn into their clothes and whatnot.
Right, yeah.
The value of gold is always there, okay? That paper currency just like Sri Lanka, when push comes to shove, I don't know how much gold it costs to buy food in Sri Lanka, but that's the other side of the gold equation. Okay, maybe it's not, hasn't been a very good investment, depending on the timing. Now, another guy that's pretty bearish out there, legendary bond investor Bill Gross, said Monday that he'd rather own a one-year treasury bill. I mean, where are they at, 2%, something like that? They're a better investment than stocks and bonds right now as the Federal Reserve potentially hikes interest rates into a recession. And that's where you get this talk of threading the needle. You know, can we have this soft landing? Can they raise interest rates without putting us in a recession? Well, Bill Gross thinks no. He thinks that he tells people to prepare for a recession. And just the way the market's acting today, it seems like that's what the market's doing. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Just, you know, here's some trivia for you. If you're at playing trivia, the highest ESG scores in the world, the Netherlands. And of course, they've got problems over there in the Netherlands with the riots.
Don't want them to use fertilizer. They've got tons of cows per square, over there. I guess it's per square meter, right? But yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of cows and not a lot of land, and so from a, you know, emissions standpoint, right? They're trying to impose some very serious measures, and the farmers are, you know, basically going to be, you know, could put them out of business, basically, or at least from family farms and things of that nature. And so they're protesting, and or it sounds like at this point that there's, you know, violence and other things. I need to read more about it. Actually, I was talking to a client about it this morning. So.
It's pretty bad. So, you know, I mean, the paradox lies in the fact that they're the number two producer of food in the world. So can we put up with some cattle emissions in order to feed the planet? I mean, that's
Edam cheese, isn't it?
That's
Edam,
the trade-off.
Gouda? What's from there? Isn't it Gouda or something?
Oh, man, cheese, yeah, right? Holland has fantastic cheeses. Yeah. And, okay, in the next other high ESG countries, France, I think they're two behind Netherlands. And then, of course, the Scandinavian countries, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and then you got Switzerland, Hong Kong, Denmark. Those are your top ESG countries. Okay, so now let's just take a look around here and see if we can find anything that's popping off the page. The Dow's up 54 right now. The Nasdaq's down 57. And, the other thing I would say here is earnings season pretty much began today. And Pepsi was the number one. I help out. Don't they own Mountain Dew? I help out with the Mountain Dew, especially their new flavors. They have mango. They have pineapple Mountain Dew. That's pretty good, you know. I didn't like the Flamin' Hot Cheeto one.
Wow, yeah, I saw that at the store. And
a little weird.
15-year-old was like, I'm like, you're not getting that.
Yeah, it's kind of like interesting, that. Though. It's like something you'd get, you know, maybe in Mexico where you get a drink that's spicy, you know, and sweet. And, Okay, so anyways, Pepsi was out of the gate first today. That stock's up about 1% right now. But American Airlines is a big winner today. That's shocking, you know, with all of the trouble they've had in the airline industry and scheduling and manpower and cost of fuel. It's up 9.2% today, and that's pretty much why, that's a big reason why the market is up here The airline stocks are having a really good day.
One of yours, Kohu, C-O-H-U.
Yeah, didn't I write that up?
Yep, and we've owned that one in the past. I think that one, wasn't that one from your neck of the woods?
Yes, it was in San Diego, and I had some clients that worked for Kohu. It's a small company.
It's up over 3% today, and that one I saw earlier just because it's on my alerts. Forward P.E. ratio of 9. So.
Yeah, okay. Now, for me, the stock of the day, this is one that we've been known to badmouth. Well, there was something going on there that we didn't know about. They were negotiating with Walmart.
Oh, I know who it is, yeah.
And it's up 81%. Of course, you could never know this unless somebody would have slipped, you know, and said something about it. But Canoe, which is GOEV, is the symbol. Canoe got clear down. I mean, we're talking just, it hit a new all-time low just the other day, 4, 5 days ago. Somebody knew something, though. You could see this thing starting to move upwards over the last 5 or 6 days. But it got down to $1.88.
Yeah, amid liquidity issues, by the way, at the time, which is never a good sign. Which, like we said, this is basically what, I mean, this whole market is, you know, that's what Tesla had to go through. I mean, they were the, you know, leader in kind of this, where, you know, that company almost went broke a handful of times, but they had a good salesman in Elon.
Yes, well, I hope they must have one at GOEV.
Yeah.
Because he made a big deal with Walmart. And I'm trying to find my news here.
4,500 electric vans. Because this is one that I like, because I thought it was interesting, because they basically put whatever shell on top of they used to make electric skateboards. And so instead they're like, we'll just make the skateboard bigger, right, and turn it into, essentially, it's a car, and then they put the whatever shell you want on it, which is in this case is going to be, I think, 4,500 electric delivery vans. So.
Yeah, and Walmart wants to get into the business. I mean, we see Amazon vans all over our neighborhood every day, and Walmart obviously wants to compete. I mean, this, if you don't deliver now, it almost seems like, hey, I'm going to buy from the company that drops it on my doorstep. I don't want to drive over to Walmart and pick it up. And, you know, like, I went to the grocery store. I personally like to, some places, I like to see what I'm buying, you know, and pick and shop a little bit. Feel the bread, make sure it's fresh. I'm the guy that squeezes the bread. But anyways, the line for the pickup was much longer than the line at the checkout counter. People are just, that's kind of really increased the cost for the grocery store. Somebody calls in their order. A shopper's got to go around and gather all of that stuff, package it up, bag it up, and have it ready for pickup. But that's where we're at as a society. Okay?
Yeah, here's an interesting point, though, talking about how much it's been down. So even it's up 80% at the moment, still down 47% on the year.
Yeah, I mean, this stock was $13, and this stock was 24, and now it's 4. So now go back from its high, it's down like 90%. Yeah. But, okay, so they got an order. And, I mean, these orders could really increase over time. This could just be the beginning. And the volume on this stock today is unbelievable. Canoe, which is GOEV, G-O-E-V, and Walmart's going EV. All right, well, you know what? I'm going to be going through my entire database of 6,000 today. I saw a lot of interesting ones yesterday. I didn't pull the trigger on anything. But we'll see. I'm just constantly, it's a relentless search for opportunities out there in not a very good market, okay? Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call if your broker's doing nothing. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.